The average parent calls their own parent twice a week for guidance when it comes to parenting. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to obviously be in touch. Somebody with experience, it's always invaluable if they have some advice. What if your parents don't know nothing about what you're asking them?
Oh, my mom will make it up. My mom will tell me what to do all the time. It doesn't matter. Like, she just, she has a formed opinion before I even get the words out of my mouth. So
that's interesting to me. Yeah. Because my mother is very much like, well, you know, what I would do. And I'm not saying this is what you should do. She would be very timid about that. If it was something that she didn't have a whole lot of advice about, right? Or experience with.
No. I am a grown adult with two children, right? A married woman. I still have to call my parents for permission to do certain things. Do you have that too? Is that an Italian thing? Like, if I want to go on vacation, I can't just book a vacation. I have to, like, call my mom and be like, hey, Ma, just so you know, we're planning to, you know, we're going to go to Mexico next summer. Yeah. You know, that's cool. Not that I need her to do anything for me, just to notify her that that's in fact happening.
So I need some, I would need my mother to do something for me. I would need her to house and dog sit. So it's a different situation. So I would kind of say, listen, we're thinking about throwing some of these dates out there, but I would go ahead and book without having that conversation too. You would not do that is what you're telling me.
No, I have to check everything with my parents. How often a week do you talk to your mom?
Gosh, I mean, some weeks it's terrible. I don't speak to her, but
really?
Most of the time, probably once a week. If it's a busier week, maybe twice a week. I've spoken to her a couple times this week. I'm going to see her tomorrow.
I have a thing with my mom where if I don't hear from her for like a whole day, so like 2 days goes by and the second day, right? I'll call her and be like, hey, oh, you forgot about me, Anna. You forgot. Oh, you're so busy. I know. You're so busy for your mom. I have to talk to my mother every single day. And even if I don't talk to her, I at least have to have a text conversation with her. Like, hi, are you okay? All right.
It's sweet. Let me just ask you, I mean, the vacation thing. So if you call your parents and you say, we're thinking about going to Cancun, or we're thinking about going here or going there. And if they go, I don't know, that sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, remember, they're Italian. So you know what they say? You always got to jitty on. Why can't you just stay at home? I don't understand. Why you got to bring the babies all the way to Mexico? You know what happens in Mexico? It's
terrible things they'll tell you that happens any place that you go.
Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why? Well, food stuff is trending today, Raven.
Go.
So people have slowed down cooking at home again. So you remember during pandemic, everybody was becoming a home chef.
Oh, yes.
They bought those bread machines. And that's all we did.
Remember, you couldn't get a bread machine or a sewing machine. You couldn't get either of the two of them.
So those days are gone. Back in 2018, before the pandemic, the average person cooked at home a meal themselves a little six times per week.
Okay.
That number soared during COVID. And now they just did a recent test and it's back to six times per week. I don't know if there is a much of a difference from back then. The stat that I thought was interesting that went along with this, Raven, is that 70% of people say they enjoy cooking. I don't enjoy cooking.
I don't know who these people are.
Who are they?
I think that, you know, listen, if you're enjoying cooking, it's probably because it's like a field trip for you. It's like something that you're not doing all the time, right? It's something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Or maybe the rest of your schedule is more open than others. You know what? Over the last few weeks, we've had more takeout, more instant food, more fast food in my house than we've had in a very long time. It's just the schedule that's been dictating it to us, right?
I think if you're really a busy person, it's hard to cook all the time and you don't enjoy it. Like when I hear about couples, they're like, oh, we cook dinner together. We pour ourselves a glass
every
of
night.
Wine. And I'm like, what? You don't fight in the kitchen? Like, get out of my way.
Right.
Why are you cutting it like that? You're taking too long. Like, what, did you preheat the oven? I told you 15 minutes ago to do it.
Other things to do.
That's just me? That's just my house?
Right.
Yeah. But going hand in hand with that, Raven, you had mentioned that you had been ordering a lot of takeout.
Yes.
So the United States is second in the most delivery in the world. China is number one.
All right.
So we have $218 billion U.S. dollars in revenues from takeout food.
Wow.
Now, it's interesting because when you order your Grubhub, your DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatever it is, you may have noticed it gets expensive because you got to add all the tips on and all that. Well, DoorDash is taking it a step further and they made this announcement.
This morning, DoorDash testing a new program to encourage more tipping of their delivery drivers. Some app users who don't tip getting this notification stating orders with no tip might take longer to get delivered. Are you sure you want to continue?
Mm. I think that's interesting. Huh?
I think that's actually wonderful. Here's the thing. Listen, you're ordering for a delivery service. And yes, it is more expensive because there's fees tacked on. And you know what? A lot of the places, too, they raise the rates on the actual food if it's going to be DoorDash or delivery system.
They sure do.
But at the same time, like, I mean, there's this thing called tip baiting, right? So they do this with a lot of delivery services. You write on there what you're going to do for a tip. And then, of course, you can adjust it. Now, I'm not against the ability to adjust a tip on an order that's being delivered. But some people, they'll do it. They know that they're not going to get delivered to. They put an enormous tip on there, and then they pull the whole thing out. That's wrong.
That's wrong.
Yeah, you can't do that. You know, you're having somebody deliver for a service, and the difference between good and bad for food delivery or something like that, if it shows up and it's intact and it hasn't been messed with, that's good delivery.
Right. I think it's fascinating to me that I think a lot of people don't realize this, because for a long time, once I delivered the food, it would pop up on the app and it would say, would you like to leave a tip? And I would always say yes, and I would leave it. But if you don't pre-leave a tip, all these drivers have the option not to take your order.
They can see the order, right? Yes. Right, and they're seeing other orders come across their thing that are in their vicinity that have a tip attached. So I actually don't have a problem with this policy.
I'll be honest, I have a new rule in our house where we don't do it, and my husband's got to get in the car and go pick it up because it's almost half the cost.
If you don't want to pay it,
I don't. It has nothing to do with the tip. It's all the additional fees. And I'm like, if I'm going to order my ramen noodles, it's going to cost $12 if my husband goes down the street and get it, or it's going to cost $21 to get delivered to my house 2 miles.
It's easy math.
Sorry, babe, get in the car. You know?
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 The little things around you that you see every day, observations of people doing things, you don't say anything when you witness it, but you just kind of roll your eyes internally and say to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. It's easy. Just fill in the blank. It feels good. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Ann Ann Raven. That's all I need to know about you. Dave.
If you call into a radio station and complain, that's all I need to know.
Oh, well, we get
plenty of that
every day.
All the time. Constantly, actually.
Pick a subject matter that they're complaining about.
Yeah.
The music, the world, us.
Yeah, we've made a career out of it, essentially.
Definitely something that I've said. Yeah.
Yep. I mean. Janine, that's all I need to know about you.
If you don't take care of your property, that's all I need to know about you.
I have got a guy on the edge of my road. He's a nice individual. He owns a lot of nice vehicles. It's a house that when he first bought it, he painted it. He did some work. And now, though, he just does whatever he wants. And he's, like, literally on the corner right on the main road. So, like, he'll push stuff off his property, Anna, and leave it in the street.
Mm.
He'll have a tree fall down, and he'll leave it laying half across the road, like, for forever. And this guy's in his 30s. This guy, he's not like he's 60 or 70. He has a problem. He had a water jug on top of a truck that I wasn't even sure was registered or running on the street for a week. They finally moved the truck. Guess what? The water jug was on the street.
Oh.
It's like they towed it out of there, or he drove away with it on top of his roof, and it was there for 2-3 days.
What's happening on your street that you're getting all upset about it?
I have lived in my house 37 years. I've had 3 neighbors. The third one is a young couple. Not one of them takes care of the property. Everything's overgrown. All the weeds are coming over my fence. They never mow the lawn. It just looks horrible. Pretty much the only house on the block that doesn't take care of their property.
Yeah, they stick out like a sore thumb, for sure.
Yeah, I hate that.
Becca, that's all I need to know about you.
If you only call or text people when you need something, that is all I need to know about you.
Are these guys or girls? Because dudes, I feel like, honestly, that's like half my friends.
I feel like guys are like that. Guys only reach out when they need something, for the most part.
Well, we're busy. You know what I mean? I mean, in our eyes.
Excuses.
You know,
excuses.
Emotionally, we don't usually need the same boxes checked. I can reach out to somebody without any conversation before that and say, hey, I need a favor. And typically, I don't think they're offended.
If the person that does this to you, is it a male or a female?
Mostly men, but I feel like in general, just like all around, I've noticed lots of people do this.
Oh, see that? All of a sudden, where's all that etiquette and manners now, Anna?
I mean...
It's going by the wayside.
Sometimes you just get so busy and that like the only time you reach out to somebody is because you need them for something for specifically, you know?
Right.
Why do I get so offended though? If somebody like emails me, like I haven't heard from them in a while, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, do you have tickets to see Olivia Rodrigo?
That's different.
That's different. A different set of friends.
Yeah. And that's a thing that we get in this business. That's a trigger for you right there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the dude who calls you up when he only needs something is your brother. Going out on a limb there, by the way.
Yeah, he's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I think, right. He's the biggest proponent of this, right?
Who has the oldest living child still living at home or knows the oldest living child still at home?
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Raven, this story has been trending.
A 75-year-old mother in Italy prevailed in having her two adult sons, both in their 40s and employed, evicted from her home. CNN reported that a Pavia court sided with the mother, who filed a lawsuit to have the two men, aged 40 and 42, removed from the home.
40 and 42.
I mean, it's really something, too, when you got to actually go to court, when mm-hmm. you tell them, get out, and yeah. they just will not leave.
She continues.
The woman, who described the sons as parasites, alleged that the pair were living in the family apartment without contributing financially or helping to maintain the household.
And the funny part about this is, like, this is happening in Italy, and coming from an Italian family, my parents are, you know, born and raised in Italy. Usually, they let the boys stay forever.
Right.
My brother could stay there still to this day, and it wouldn't be a problem.
I had a couple neighbors that, yeah, the kids were definitely there into their 30s, 40s, maybe even at that point. You know, I was younger, so, you know, you think everybody is old and ancient at that point. But, yeah, they were definitely there as grown men.
The mother had repeatedly tried asking her sons to live on their own. But, according to the woman, neither of them wanted to.
Yeah, do you blame them?
Yeah.
Stop doing their laundry and cooking them lasagna every night. I mean,
over in Europe in general, right? I mean, this is generational. This has been a thing for a long time, right?
Yes.
Either, you know, based due to economics or family bonds or whatever. Here in America, for the most part, it's been different for many years, but it's kind of trending towards that again now.
Well, you see a lot of times now, because things are so expensive,
yes.
that kids are having a hard time getting their footing, so they can't go and buy a house when they're 23 years old like a lot of generations before.
And the elderly are living longer,
yes.
so you need caregivers, because that has also become more expensive. So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about this last night, actually. I was with my father. My dad built my brother a wing in a house.
Yep.
And then his girlfriend moved in, now his wife. And I thought they were never leaving.
Right.
Never, ever, ever leaving. And my mom loved it. My boy is home. My boy is home. Yeah. I don't know. Who has the oldest child still living at home? Layla.
That would be my little brother. And I'm going to preface that with, he is nearly 30 years old. And of all of my father's four kids, he's the one that is the slowest, so to speak, to leave the nest. He didn't start driving till he was 27. So, yeah, he's taking his time.
I mean, to me, again, almost 30 doesn't seem old, but not getting your license till 27, he may never leave there. He may never leave there.
Do you think that he'll eventually leave, or is he one of those guys that he's never moving out?
I mean, it's hard to say, because my father, at the same time, given that he's like the youngest of the youngest of my dad's kids, my dad doesn't push him in any one direction or the other. So I kind of blame my dad a little bit for that. Slowly, like, he's starting to really want his own space. So whether or not he does that, I don't know.
Does he have the nicest car out of all the siblings?
Of course he does.
The only thing he's paying for, right?
Right.
And no miles on it. Probably works like three blocks away.
Does he have a girlfriend?
No, he does not.
Nope.
Like, if you're 30 years old, you still live at home with dad, do you go out with that guy?
Nope. I'm thinking not.
Who has the oldest adult child that's still living at home? 1-800-330-9999. Tan on Raven. Trending in the news, Raven, is that millennials are trying to get rid of this negative connotation that living at home with your parents as an adult is a bad thing. 52% of young adults, so that's under the age of 30.
Right.
How old were you when you moved out of your house?
18.
And that was it?
Yeah. No, I was young. I mean, I came back twice. I guess I was 22 or 21 or 22. I think I came back for a little while. And then I came back again when I was like 28 for a minute.
But and then I was back out.
Oh, yeah. Every time.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you have an adult child still living at home?
I do. My son's still living at home, and he's 42.
42 years old?
He's at Raven's age. He's a grown man.
So wait. I mean, I need clarification. Did he move out and then move back in? Are you invalid? Like, I need some things. I need some information.
No, he actually, he's never moved out. He's always been with us. He moved downstairs to the basement area.
Of course.
Made it his own. He's had a couple girlfriends move in and out, but he's never left. I think he wants that security of a home-cooked meal and not having to really have has his own place.
You must do fantastic laundry.
What do you do when the girlfriend's over? Is there a sock on the door? What happens? Do you never, ever, ever enter the basement no matter what anyways?
I only go downstairs when I have to do the laundry, and that's right in the morning, and then I wait until I hear the TV on and the video games going or
42 video games going in the basement. Are you doing his laundry?
He's living the life.
I do his laundry.
Oh!
On occasion, I ask him to fold it, but
on occasion, ask him to fold it.
I want to come live with you too.
I imagine her making sandwiches every time my friends come over for a Call of Duty like long haul. Right? We're gonna play Fortnite the next 5 days.
Mom, make some sandwiches.
That's right, right. The
meatloaf. Jimmy's coming over.
The meatloaf. Now, Mom.
Hannah and Raven, how old is your adult child still living at home?
He's 16 years old.
I mean, 16 legally, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to allow him to still be there.
Oh, yeah, he's a sophomore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't make him homeless yet at this point. But
we'll give him a couple more years.
But I love your enthusiasm. Thank you for calling.
She's like, get him out. It's enough time.
Right. I can't wait to turn his room into a gym.
A lot of his friends go to boarding school. We wouldn't let him, so.
Oh, I see.
I guess I'm out.
But he was willing to go to the military to escape the house, but you were like, nope, you're not ready yet. This is the opposite of the call that we just had, but thank you for sharing.
She said, so I'm out. So I didn't win all this kids still living at home.
It's really eye-opening what's going on here.
So far, between the text line and the calls that we've gotten, the record is 42 years old.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Hi. It's Anna and Raven. How old is your adult child living at home?
25, but now I'm really depressed because you just said 42 and 39.
Right, because you're thinking in your head at 25, it can't last that much longer. But now we know it can actually last forever.
20 more years.
Sad and pathetic.
A woman just won a court case in Italy to evict her two sons from her home because they would never move out. One was 40 years old. The other was 42.
I mean, it's pretty wild, right? I mean, there was times that I went back to my house. But, you know, there was also a day where my stepfather came to me and he was like, listen, you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to get out of here.
Who knows the oldest child still living at home? 1-800-330-9999. Dan.
61.
No.
His mother is 93, and his 24-year-old daughter lives with him.
Oh, my gosh.
Come on. Do they have their own rooms and their own wings, or are they just all living together?
He has allegedly his man cave, which was a converted porch in the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And mom lives upstairs along with the daughter.
Wait a minute. So let me just, who is this in relation to you? Who do you?
Not the mother's daughter, the father's daughter.
Okay. How do you know so this individual?
He's kind of one of my employees.
Oh, my God. Right, right.
Give him a raise so he can move out of that house.
No, he shows up every day. I'm sure he's getting paid fine. And if he's late, you call
his
mom. He
shows up. No, if he's late, he brings donuts.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Thanks,
but,
Dan.
You know,
I can't wait for this guy to hear him on the radio. Is that my boss?
Right.
Is that my boss on the air?
Called me out on air. Right. Perfect.
Zoe, who's the oldest child living at home that you know?
I have a cousin who is 27, who lives with his parents and his two kids. So it's like a whole family affair over there.
Oh.
This is after a divorce, a breakup?
Yeah, after a breakup. It was a pretty messy situation, but, you know,
I don't know
if it got any cleaner.
You hear that a lot. 27 doesn't seem that crazy to me to be able to have two kids and move home. I think a lot of people do that now.
I mean, in some ways, as crazy as this sounds, he's almost ahead of the curve, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he'll almost have his life back on track at 30, and the kids will be doing fine. Listen, when you break up, there's fewer safer places to go than back to your parents, right?
Right.
You get the support to rebuild the way you need it. 27. Not so bad.
With two kids?
Yeah, I'm thinking there's a 45-year-old out there right now in the exact same situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Mick, oldest child still living at home. Who is it?
I've got my wife's aunt that's got two kids that are in their late 50s and one in their early 50s living at home with her.
Wait, the kids are in their 50s and they're still living at home?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They just, one lives in a Yeah, one's in the basement, one's upstairs. They don't even talk to each other, two siblings, but they live in the same household.
Oh, my God. That is insane to me. Oh, my God.
How do you do that? I just don't get it.
No, I would never want to do that.
Like, don't they ever wonder, what would it be like to go home by myself to my own house? Wouldn't that be nice?
Or go home to somebody else that I actually speak to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shay, who's the oldest child you know still living at home?
Well, my friend of mine, her mother just passed, almost 100 years old, and her brother never left home. He's in his late 70s.
Oh, my gosh. That's wow.
Yeah, never left home. He's had girlfriends, never married, never no children, but never left home.
Well, do you think now he will?
And that's,
I mean, why would he? Everybody
he's
else is dead.
In the mother's home.
Well, now the house is his.
Right.
Right. He outlived everybody else.
Right.
He did it. He
that
scored.
Was his goal.
That was the goal. He won.
Yeah, that was late 70s. I think he's about to be actually 79.
He figured this out at 18 and he decided this is going to be my end game. At 79, now he's got it wired.
On average, you have 6 dumb arguments every single weekend with your friends and family. That's the national average.
Doesn't matter how dumb they are, too. That doesn't really control the size of that argument. Could be small, could be big.
All right, you're going to decide who had the dumbest argument of the weekend. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, or me? Let's start with John.
Okay, wait, what's the phrase?
I think it's called 86ing, no?
When you 86, that's when you leave, right? Isn't that
No, it's when you, like, get rid of something, get rid of it, it's gone.
So you 86? No, I thought that was when you leave a place, right?
No, I think it's when you say something's dumb and you don't want to do it. You knock that idea off the docket.
I think you're both right, right?
I think you may both be right.
I think I'm wrong. I'm actually pretty sure.
You're more wrong than she is.
Yes.
Yeah, the 86 is you got rid of something, Ryan.
It means you don't like it, so you're getting rid of it.
Right, I'm going to 86
it. Are you confusing it with Audi 5000?
You know what?
No.
Sure, let's say that.
I mean, maybe. Either way, you're more wrong than she is,
yes.
John.
Yes.
All right, producer Sean, here's the argument you had with your girlfriend, Rachel.
All I'm saying is that if you want to teach him how to play, then you should be playing with him.
Well, it didn't seem like you were teaching him. It just seemed like you were trying to beat him.
Because you didn't even give me 1 second to do it.
What is happening?
Her and Isaac were playing chess. And Isaac doesn't really know how to play chess.
How old is Isaac?
He's 8 years old.
Right. He probably doesn't know how to play chess.
So I was trying to help. You wanted to play, so I just wanted to teach him how and help him.
You're teaching him how to win.
Exactly.
How to beat her.
And she was upset about that.
Okay. Oh, so you were giving rules. Oh, you're giving moves. Right.
Rachel will tell you differently, but we were crushing.
Yeah.
I mean,
Grandmaster Sean.
Sorry, babe.
Hey.
My daughter and I, the teenager and I, got into an argument about an argument I had with somebody else.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
The woman made no sense. She said that I could not buy a gift card unless I had cash. Never in my life had I heard that. What was I supposed to say? Oh, okay, that's totally normal?
I mean, you shouldn't have argued with her about it.
She's wrong. How do you work at a store that sells gift cards and then say you're only allowed to use cash when buying gift cards? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I've never heard of anything so absurd.
Well, rather than arguing with her, we should have done what normal people do and just walk out instead of putting up a fight before walking out.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
No, but this is a thing, too, though, with scams, though, with stolen cards, right? So certain stores, this is a policy that they won't let you purchase a gift card unless it's like a cash purchase.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
If I'm buying a $100 gift card for my friend's birthday, right, a Banana Republic gift card.
Who's carrying
$100 cash? I'm not in, like, a mom and pop store. I'm in Rite Aid. Like, I'm in a huge pharmacy.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Right?
No, that's weird.
It doesn't make any sense.
That makes it weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like they did it at my grocery store for a minute. Either way, you know what? So we had a baby shower this weekend. It's my first grandchild's baby shower. Crazy. But the party was awesome. But they have this game, What's in Your Purse? And it's like all these different random items that could be in your purse and they give points. And we caught my Aunt Judy trying to cheat by saying that she had a spoon in her purse, which was worth 15 points. But then I had to ask my wife after, what would a spoon be doing in anybody's purse?
They went and stole it from the table.
No, but like regularly, why would there be a spoon in somebody's purse? Why would it be on the list?
You have kids. Babies need spoons when they eat food. So moms have a lot of weird stuff in their purses, babe. I mean, a lot.
A spoon. Okay.
Judy wanted the point so bad she went and took a spoon from the party that we were at and then shoved it in her purse beforehand.
Those baby shower games, bridal shower games, they get vicious.
I mean,
listen, if I got to steal a spoon to win that candle, you know what? it's going right in my purse.
Did you ever have a spoon in your purse?
Yeah, no. I actually could picture it in my head. It would be a Ziploc bag that had like the kid plastic fork and the kid plastic spoon for when you had to feed them, when you would go places and they would have the jars of food.
So weird. This is so weird.
It has been 1 year since the release of our Christmas movie, Santa's Second Wife. When I think back on that time,
wow,
I'm still really conflicted about the whole process. It was stressful.
It was busy. It was stressful. It was a learning experience. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun in some ways. But yeah. I'm glad we're not doing it again this year, to be honest. So, if I can be honest, this year.
If you missed it, we had an idea. And it started off as a crazy radio thing where I said, I want to pitch an idea to the Hallmark Channel to make my Christmas movie. And I talked on the air about how Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus were going to get a divorce. It wasn't working out. And then this would be the story about how he re-falls in love with somebody else.
I thought originally Mrs. Claus was going to die.
Right.
But
well,
they said that was too dark.
They told me no. Yeah, they said the Mrs. Claus can't dark. Yeah. Like, she can't die. It was against the rules. And I was like, listen, whatever. You want to make my movie.
Right.
And then randomly I got a phone call from an independent movie company and said, hey, we'll make your movie. And I thought they were kidding. And they weren't. And we started on this whole process of getting this movie made. And, you know, it starts with Mrs. Claus and Mr. Claus having kind of a rough time.
Jessica, what are you doing here?
You said things would be different this year.
And they will.
You said that I would be your priority this year.
And you are.
You said that we would be spending Christmas together this year.
We are.
Yeah. Bad news. It doesn't work out.
No, it doesn't work out.
No.
So Santa needs a second wife.
So Santa goes on a dating app because, you know, welcome to new times, right? And he does end up finding the love of his life. Now, the funny part that you don't remember, because it's hilarious, is that Raven and I were in the movie.
Yeah.
So we were cast as ourselves. And Nev, who plays new Mrs. Claus, is a social media influencer. So she comes on the air with us regularly to talk about all the things that she's promoting. Here's one of those clips.
Oh, Nev, I heard that the Boutif packing cubes aren't the only thing you're checking out for Valentine's Day.
What do you mean, Anna?
I was talking to your daughters. They told me that you're on MerryMatches.com.
MerryMatches.com offered you a membership in exchange for a review. That's what I heard.
Incredible acting right there.
We were phenomenal.
We were so good.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I know lots of people that went. My grandmother, my mother, everybody who said that we were the best part of the movie.
And now you can watch the whole thing on YouTube. So I'm reading the comments on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with the good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why?
This movie made me laugh, cry, get mad, and love all at the same time. Like, I think somebody from the cast had to write this, right?
It's definitely my mom.
Another one. I really enjoyed this Christmas movie. I've seen it twice so far. I think once is enough.
Okay. All right. Enough of this nonsense. Give me some of the real deal. The down and dirty, not happy with the film.
All right. This one comes from a guy from Moscow, Russia.
Oh, good.
Also, something we learned about is like a lot of these independent movies is that they do really well overseas and like they don't do anything here. But like in other countries, they're a big deal. After watching tons of American movies, why do I get the feeling that all American wives fall into two categories? Those who want to divorce their husbands and those who are already divorced. Is it because American husbands are so bad? Okay.
It's nice. His own dating app opening. Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. Nice movie, but her clothing sucks. Not for nothing, but I mean, it's kind of accurate. All right. Here's another one that was hurtful. Kind of weird that Santa's new love interest was old and played the role of a 38-year-old when she looks like she's 57.
Oh, that's not nice.
I know.
We're reading these?
Here's another one. Concept is way too out there. Let's just lambast another tradition. Oh, my gosh. St. Nicholas was a real person. Google it, folks. I mean, it's hilarious. If you want to watch our Christmas movie, you know what? We'll put it up on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. You can get the link there to YouTube. It's free. You can watch it for free now. We'll put it up on our website, too, in a little bit at annaandraven.com. Do you remember the first time you were left alone when you were a kid? What did you do at home? 1-800-330-9999. My older daughter she'll be 15 in March. My little one's going to be 5 next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started leaving them home alone together. I think my older one is responsible enough to watch the little one.
Sure.
But I'm always fascinated by it because I'm like, what do they do? Right?
Yeah.
So I asked her, I was like, what do you guys do when you're home alone?
Yeah.
Hayden, when you're left home alone, what do you do?
Well, when I'm left home alone with my sister, normally we will have like a movie night or something. We'll watch movies, make popcorn. Sometimes if I'm feeling adventurous, we'll do an art and like a craft.
If you're home all alone, like the first time we ever left you home alone, what did you do?
I think I just played on my computer, watched YouTube, played Roblox.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah. I can remember, I can't really remember the first times I was home alone when I was younger. It was kind of the latchkey generation, right, where everybody was doing that at that point. Mm-hmm. But I can remember the first time I was left home alone on vacation. I threw a party, and my friends lit the deck on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that happened.
Did you get in trouble?
Got in trouble. Yeah, I got in trouble, 100%.
Oh, I think as a parent too, you wonder like how old is old enough to leave your kids home alone?
Mm-hmm.
Every state has different laws. Most states don't have a number. They just say it's up to the parents' discretion and knowing their child. So I was trying to figure out like, well, what did I do? And I remember it wasn't the first time I was left home alone, but I definitely had a party one time. And I remember being horrified because a lot of times when you're young and you throw these parties, people just keep coming.
Yes.
And you have no control over it.
You don't know how they even found out.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget it. One night I was left home alone and like people just kept coming. And then somebody was smoking in my house.
Oh, my gosh.
And I almost had a nervous breakdown.
Right.
I was like, they're going to smell it. You know, I was freaking out.
They're going to be gone for another week, but they're totally going to smell it.
I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Yeah, no, not alone. Anne Marie says, when they went out of state, I threw a party at age 15. Jeremy says he went through his dad's magazine stash.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, very revealing, Jeremy, but very honest. Way for speaking your truth.
Do you remember? What did you do the first time you were home alone? 1-800-330-9999. Katie.
Oh, my gosh. My brother and I thought it would be so cool to light toilet paper on fire and throw it off the balcony.
No.
That's what kids do when they're home alone. And so, Oh, yeah. We got caught, and it was not a good time at home, but it was, that was my first memory of being home alone.
Last time.
Dumb move.
Now you're 34 and your mom still won't leave you home alone.
Yeah, I wouldn't, right? I would bring it up every single time, especially when talking to you about your kids and you leaving them home alone. 100%. I would bring it up every time. And it'd be in the back of my mind, right? I'd be like, wait a minute. Are my kids really genetically better than I was, right? Or are we the same? Are we cut from the same cloth?
It's such a monumental moment when you're first left home alone when you're a kid. You're like, what are you going to do? For the most part, I think I was timid and scared, so I would just sit in the same place they left me until they got back.
Yeah, no, I think it is. It's scary and exciting at the same time. And it's different if they just leave or if you come home alone, too. Like, if you're getting out of school, yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of states throughout the country, like, there's no rules on what's the right age. It's all up to the parents' discretion. Do you remember what you did the first time you were left home alone? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
Well, back in the day, I'm going to age myself. We didn't really have computers in our home.
Right.
So we were outside, and we decided to take down one tree fort and build another one, and took all of my dad's tools and brought them to the woods and just started building a tree fort out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I hope you brought them back. You know, back in the day, you could build a fort anywhere you wanted to. Now, you'll get some sort of, like, easement from the city.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We brought the tools back, but they came back covered in rust.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Dad's not happy about that when he finds out. Wow.
He was not a happy camper.
Ricky, what did you do when you were home alone as a child?
So I had a two-story house, and my parents were always like, you got to be so careful on the stairs and so careful on the stairs. And so my brother and I remember this being like such a fun time. When they would leave, we would like create like sled type things out of pillows and blankets, and then just like ride down the stairs all the time. I don't think my parents ever found out that we were constantly doing that, because they were like, really like, be careful, be cautious. Because, you know, I mean, and as an adult now, I know it can be dangerous, but as a kid, it was so much fun.
I used to live in a 4-story condo when I was growing up. And there was an area where when you came down from the second floor to the first floor, not only did you have the full flight of stairs, but we had a sunken living room beyond that. So that was another 4 stairs. It was like when you get to the bottom of a sledding hill, there's that flat spot, and then you scoot your butt and you keep on going.
Yeah.
That's how it was. It was crazy. It was crazy. My parents couldn't figure out why there was always, it looked like the stairs were coming through the ceiling of the floor above you.
Yeah, it was your butt.
Yep.
Debbie, first time home alone, what'd you do?
Well, my brother and I were young teenagers. My mother had remarried. The gentleman that my mom remarried was a private detective. There was handcuffs in my mother's room. And my brother and I were fooling around. He locked me to the bedpost.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to be the one to tell you all these years later, but those handcuffs were not there because he was a private detective. Which makes everything much more disturbing when you think about it. Cassidy, what did you do when you were first home alone as a child?
The only thing I can remember that I first did was, like, my parents said goodbye, and then I took out my boombox, and I put on a song that had curse words, and I sang it at the top of my lungs.
Wow. Like Risky Business and whatnot.
Crazy.
That's wild.
She got nuts.
Right.
She was like, listen to this, Jay-Z.
For me, it'd be Ice-T, the Colors album, right? Hustler.
I do remember singing at the top of my lungs, being home alone as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to do that without my mom being like, shut up up there!
Right.
You're so loud!
You'll never do more gangster rapping or topless dancing.
One of my best hits was Baby Got Back, so that tracks.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. We should duet that.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Jane and Carl. Jane, what's going on?
Our son, Joey, is starting kindergarten next year, and I am a first grade teacher in the school district that he would be going to. However, I think it's not a great idea for Joey to be in school with me, so I want to send him to a private school.
Carl, you have an issue with this, I'm guessing. What's up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion. It's a great school. Jane, I think you can, come on, I think you can separate Joey's education from your work. Look, we're going to save so much money doing this instead of going to a private school.
Jane, what's your main holdup with this?
The only issue for me is that I feel like he has spent so much time at home with us, especially, you know, like, in quarantine and all that stuff. It's like we're finally back out in the real world, and I don't want him to have to rely on me for everything. I want him to make his own connections and, you know, feel like he's on his own for a bit.
But look, it's going to look bad, you know, you being a teacher in the district, and we send him to a private school. It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, I don't know about that. Who cares? Who's that look bad to, Anna, if you're running for mayor, I guess, or leader of the Board of Education. I think I understand what you're saying there, Jane, and the fact that, you know, it's important for him to forge his own relationships at school. If he can always run to his mother across the hall, does that create a problem, right? A deficit for him when dealing with other students? However, plenty of teachers have had their kids go to school before. Jane, secretly, do you have teachers in your school that you hate? Don't do a great job?
What?
I wouldn't say it's that. I would say it's more that, like, you know, like you said, I don't want him feeling like he can run to me for every little issue. You know, it's time for him to, if he's starting school, to be a little brave, I think. And I think the private school would be good for him.
It's so shocking to hear a first grade teacher say, be a man.
I'm confused. Can I ask for clarification? Jane, do you want to send him to private school because you just don't think it's fair to have your son in the same school that you teach in? Or because you feel that the education is not up to speed in your school and that you think the private school will offer a better education?
I mean, if we're being honest, I guess it's a little bit of both. Although I do think the teachers in our school are fantastic. I just know that the curriculum at the private school would be a little bit better.
Okay.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
If you were a teacher, would you send your child to a different school out of your district?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Listen, we can have advanced Latin lessons at home, can't we?
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what the options are. It must be different in every school district. Jane and Carl have a young son who will be starting kindergarten next year. So they got a little bit of time. But they're already having a disagreement about it because Jane is a first grade teacher in the public schools. And she doesn't want their son to go to the same school she teaches at. She thinks he'd be better in the private school. and that it's kind of awkward for her to have her baby in the same school where she teaches.
Yeah, she doesn't want her son to be running to her every little situation that he has going on. And at the same time, you know what? Maybe she didn't say it, but maybe in her mind, she's like, I don't want that added responsibility throughout the day either. I've already got all my classroom of kids here. But, you know, basically, Carl says that this is ridiculous. All right. It's a great school. It's a fine school. You know, there'll be plenty of space between you guys there. Why would we spend all this money to send them to private school?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Larry, whose side are you on?
I think I'm on the father's side. Grew up, my father was a teacher in middle school, and I went to school in the same school he was at. To be honest with you, it helped me. Because I was more scared of screwing up and making him look bad. It made me toe the line, and all the teachers gave me a little extra help, you know, and it put me on the right path. I think she's overreacting.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. I don't even know what the rules are. I guess if your child is districted to the school district and the school that you work in, they have every right to go there, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think that typically it would be expected that they would go there unless you asked for some sort of exception. And I don't think that there's exceptions made for most people based on address nowadays. But I think that if you have a family member that's working in the building and you say, you know, it could be a conflict of interest, then I think they have to probably contend with that. I'm not sure.
Jane and Carl have a son. He's not starting kindergarten until next year, so there's still a little bit of time. But Jane is a first grade teacher in the school. And she doesn't want her son to go to the same school that she teaches at. She thinks it's going to be a lot of pressure on her. She thinks he'd be better off at a private school. But her husband, Carl, disagrees.
Yeah, Carl says, this is ridiculous. This is a great public school. You're a great teacher. You're one teacher in a building full of teachers. You know, he doesn't even have to be in your class next year. And that would be the year after that he had begun at this school anyways. So he's like, this is a non-issue.
What do you think? Would you let your kid go to the same school you taught at? What would be what you would do? Christina, you're a teacher and your child is in your school. Whose side are you on?
I am on the side of the father. Well, I don't know. Both. I have a question. Is there more than one elementary school within the district?
I think there is, but that was not put up as an option. It was private school or public school, they said.
Okay. So, my opinion, private school is better than public school as far as education. It can be a conflict, but I think it's ridiculous that the child says they should have to pay for private school.
So I guess you address it if it becomes an issue at some point.
Edwin, what do you think?
I think he should go to the same district, but in a different school where she's not working at. And stay in the public school.
I feel like I had students that their parents were in the school, and the truth is that I didn't even know until somebody would tell you in passing, right? You weren't all that aware of it. You don't really care, right?
I don't know.
Unless you run in the same circle of friends or you see some sort of favoritism.
Hey, Rose, what do you think?
I've done it both ways. I'm a private school teacher. I had all three children in my school with me. I taught one of my own children. It's all about curriculum to me, and I moved them out when I thought they would do better in a public school.
Individual basis. I get that. You know your kid better than anybody else.
That would make sense.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Carl, the audience agreed with you. Jane, if it's your school and you teach there, then it's fine for your child to go there. Ultimately, that's what the audience decided.
I mean, I'm glad that the audience decided that. However, I still disagree, but, you know, I mean, if we're not going to come to an agreement here, then we'll see how his attachment style is after he goes to school where I teach.
I think it'll be just fine, Jane. I really do.
You know, you'll have to do the cry it out technique, right, Anna? Where she just locks the classroom door and you can hear your son banging on the outside door. Mommy!
Mommy!
Sinking down to the floor. You know how they do when they're really letting it out?
Yeah.
Yeah, and your first graders are just like, what is going on out there?
Yeah, no, it's not fun. Yeah.
No, I'm sure it's going to be all right, but good luck, guys.
If you have a problem, too, send an email.
Thank you, guys.
couplescore@annonraven.com. Can't Be Raven Cash Jackpot is $2,000, brought to you by Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads. Throw Unstoppables into your wash to protect against odors and keep your clothes smelling fresh all day long. It's like music to your nose. If your nose could hear, Downy Unstoppables. Try for under $5. Hey, Brian, you ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Tell Raven to get on out of here.
Get on out of here, Raven.
You got it, Brian. Good luck.
He has rolled his eyes at you. I just want you to know that. All right. Raven is walking out. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
Number one, the biggest breakups of the year include Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness, Sofia Vergara and Joe Manganiello, and Camila Cabello and what pop star?
Shawn Mendes.
Number two, Mariah Carey has a new Christmas shirt for sale. It has a picture of Mariah on it, and it says, "It's time." Which Mariah song was the first and only holiday single to be certified diamond?
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Number three, Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian welcomed their first child together, a son. What's his name?
Gary.
Number four, Missy Elliott became the first female rapper to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What Missy song has the lyrics, "I've got a cute face, chubby waist, thick legs, in shape, rump shaking both ways, make you do a double take"?
No idea.
And number five, after 35 seasons, Homer Simpson will no longer strangle Bart. In a recent episode, he says he doesn't do that anymore because, he quotes, "times have changed." What beer brand does Homer drink?
Schlitz.
I mean, honestly, Brian, that was terrible. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yeah.
2 out of 5 for Brian.
Not great. $2,000. Let's see how I do.
Number one, the biggest breakups of the year include Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness, Sofia Vergara and Joe Manganiello, and Camila Cabello and what pop star?
Shawn Mendes.
That's right.
For the second time.
Yeah. What we think.
I thought they'd be together forever.
Number two, Mariah Carey has a new Christmas shirt for sale. It has a picture of Mariah on it, and it says, "It's time." Which Mariah Carey song was the first and only holiday single to ever be certified diamond?
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's right. You guys are tied. Number three, Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian welcomed their first child together, a son. What's his name?
Rocky.
That's right. Number four, Missy Elliott became the first female rapper to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What Missy song has the lyrics, "I've got a cute face, chubby waist, thick legs, in shape, rump shaking both ways, make you do a double take"?
That's Lose Control.
Lose Control.
Uh-huh.
Lose Control. I'll go now. Uh-huh. What's her producer that she worked with her entire life?
Did their first album. Herself.
No. The one who she worked with. The most famous rapper. She was 19 years old when she put out that.
I mean.
You know it's Timbaland, you fool.
I didn't know that. I thought that she was the ace behind all of it, to tell you the truth.
No, it's Timbaland. Number five. After 35 seasons, Homer Simpson will no longer strangle Bart. In a recent episode, he said he doesn't do that anymore because, he quotes, "times have changed."
Well, I guess they have, yeah.
What beer brand does Homer drink?
Duff.
That's right. I'm sorry, Brian. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Excellent. I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that trip, bro. $2,100 tomorrow, Anna.
I can't believe you didn't know that she worked with Timbaland on all the records.
No, honestly, I thought that Missy was kind of the ace producer for many other people's hits. I didn't realize that she was partnering with him.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. The sound fits.
Yeah, they've been best friends since they were kids.
Well, isn't that nice that they're besties?
Yeah, it's really nice.